You cannot be serious! That ball was on the line!
And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
Konnichiwa, this is Liu Vocal.
Shalom, this is Matt Cohen.
Welcome to Big Lens Fast Shutter, where we demystify the world of sports photography.
Here at News, both Ryu and I will tell you our best and worst shoot of the previous month, and we talk about ourselves because we like to.
We also like to and love to and just cannot stop listening to ourselves, and Matt sometimes forgets that it's his turn to do his thing. So, you want me to go first, or do you want to go?
I'll go first. This month was kind of interesting. I have been shooting generally the same thing for month to month, but this month I shot a bunch of different things.
Wait. You're going to talk about... No, you have a better best, no?
Yeah.
Come on. What's the best thing you did this month?
Are we doing the Cliff Notes version of news this month?
No, but you had a big thing that happened to you this month, which is way over photography.
Oh, news.
Yeah.
Non-photography related news. I got engaged.
Way. That's a lot of people clapping, just me. But other people, I'm sure they're clapping inside their heads at this point. Yes, Matt Cohen got engaged, and he's an engaged man at this point. So we will leave it at that, and we'll go back to news. So what's the best and the worst of the weekend? I mean, not the weekend, this month.
My best shoot wasn't really a great shoot, but it was really good to get back to shooting basketball. I didn't really shoot very much basketball last year, so it had been kind of 18 months or something like that since I had shot basketball, and it was really great because I don't like watching basketball, and I would never go to a game, but shooting it I really enjoy. Get to take a lot of chances and shoot with some different gear. So I shot University of California, Berkeley basketball against Pepperdine. So I really enjoyed that shoot and came away with some pretty good pictures for not having shot it for 18 months. My worst shoot was a few days after that, where I ended up taking two assignments back to back for a newspaper here. And I was shooting, it was a championship weekend, and I was shooting a water polo final and a volleyball final. And I didn't have enough time at either one, so it was kind of rush to get the, just enough pictures that I needed and then get to the other venue and get just enough pictures there and then file. Really unpleasant day driving around in the rain and shooting water polo outside in the rain and then shooting volleyball in a very, very dimly lit gym. So yeah, that was definitely my worst day of shooting this month.
Best was that I got to shoot figure skating, which was really, really cool. I went to a tournament in Paris called Eric Bompa. I've been going this for a couple of years now. And it was nice to see people that I work with from time to time with figure skating things. And I also got to experiment, like Matt said, kind of a new sport this season. Well, not really new, but for this season, it is new again. And I got to do a lot of really, really slow shutter stuff. And it was quite challenging. And it worked out. I had a photographer friend of mine who actually made a modification to his gear that made it a lot easier to do this. And that we will talk about later on, because this is a Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah version of Big Lens Fast Shutter. So we like to be able to maybe give you guys some tips on what you can actually get your loved ones for this holiday season. And my worst was Holland v. Germany. It was an international friendly, which means that international, you should just sit at home and do nothing instead of actually using money to go and shoot these ridiculously stupid matches that both teams are out there not to do anything to hurt themselves, because it doesn't count anything. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. People just, get their money and just go home. And the only thing they don't want to do is get injured, so they don't play very tough. And your pictures come out very, very, very lame because there's no kind of spirit in it, because there's nothing riding on these matches. To wrap it up this section, I just want to thank you, all the people who have responded to our cries of help and have written us emails and called us and stalked us and all that kind of stuff. No, not the stalking thing, but we received a lot of emails. We had some comments on the thread and it's been very, very helpful. So Matt and I are thinking about doing something starting next year. We have not decided which one we're going to do, but when we do, we'll definitely let you know. That's it, no? Isn't it?
I also want to echo that. I really do appreciate the emails and responses on Flickr and Twitter and wherever else. We're at the point where with the blog posts that we've written, we've covered a large chunk of the things that are obvious to us, and we do need little reminders from the people that are getting the most out of this. What do you want to hear about? What are you having problems with? What do you want to know more about? We can produce more at this point in time from answering your questions and kind of going on themes than we can just sitting down at a computer and saying, what do I feel like writing about today? So the more responses we get, the better this will all be for everybody.
Yeah, so please, 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 please ask us questions. We'll be more than happy to answer them. And, you know, if Matt can answer them on Flickr, or I can answer them on Flickr, or we can do it on our BLFS website, or if there's something that's really good that we can talk about it, then we'll do it on the show. And we might even credit you if you're being good. But anyway, that is news, and we will go and, I don't know, brush your teeth and come back for the next segment. Masterclass, we pick a topic in sports photography and we discuss it front and back, and we still haven't actually gotten someone to come on the show with us to do this, but maybe we'll do sometimes next year. Matt Cohen, what are we talking about?
We're talking about timing.
Yes, timing.
We've touched on this a few different times, never specifically about timing. It was usually in regards to something else. But I've been seeing some pictures that have come in and people are taking our advice and they're doing some things that we've asked them to do. And there are pictures in the pool right now that would be very good pictures, except the timing is off. And I'll go back to an example. Baseball, when you're shooting the pitcher, you can squeeze the trigger and shoot at 9 frames a second or 11 frames a second or whatever, but the pitcher's arm is moving faster and there's gaps in between those frames. No matter how, unless you're shooting at 60 frames a second or something on a video camera, your 9 or 11 frames a second are not going to be fast enough to get every single position that that pitcher's arm is going to be in. You're not going to be able to hold it down and get the perfect release point with the ball coming off the fingertips. You're not going to be able to get the perfect follow through, except for by luck. So what you need to do is back off of that and learn the timing and know, when I push the button here, where's his arm going to be? And what we're seeing a lot is the standard action picture of two people fighting over a ball, but the ball has been kicked away, or the ball hasn't gotten to them yet, or one of them's eyes are open and one of them's eyes are closed, or somebody's falling down, but they're in a really awkward position and the ball has already left the frame or is in the process of leaving the frame. So it just looks like the ball is sitting there and two people are colliding without any kind of relationship to the ball. And what this comes down to is timing. You need to get enough experience shooting these things. You need to pay attention to know if the ball's moving at this speed or the pitcher's arm is moving at this speed, where do I need to be and when do I need to push the button to get the picture at exactly the right moment? Because other people are going to be more careful about this. They're not going to be leaning on their motor drive to get the picture. They're going to know there's going to be one moment in this interaction between these players that's going to be the picture, and they sit there and they get that moment, and the good people will get it more often than they won't. Whereas if you're sitting there just blasting away every time, you may get it on some, but you're not going to get it on others where you could have. And I'm not a purist. I'm not sitting here saying you need to switch it over to single shot mode and shoot a whole game like that, although that can be a very good training for you. But you need to know that just laying your finger on the button is not going to get it. And that's when you start getting people with their eyes closed in awkward positions, when you start missing the moment, when you're relying too much on your gear and not enough on your brain.
We now have memory cards instead of film, and we have very, very good cameras. Even amateur people have very, very good cameras because it's affordable. And why not shoot as many as you can and just blast away? I think it makes sense for the first couple of times you have, you know, shot sports, because you don't really know what's going on and you just want to shoot as everything you can. And you're just going to hope that you would end up with one or two photo that would be very, very good, and the rest would just be crap. after a while, maybe not even 3 or 4, but after maybe a couple months of doing it, if you've been concentrating on one sport, I don't know, let's say it's swimming, you would know the exact moments when things will happen because you've been to enough swim meets, you've seen enough of these, you know, swimmers swim, and you will get the timing correctly. And once you do, there's no point in just blasting away because you're going to have all these crappy pictures you have to get rid of anyway. And all you need to do is you're going to shoot from the moment they get up on these. I'm going to shoot about swimming. Can I do something that I actually know? Let's say figure skating. Sorry, I've never shot swimming. I don't know why I said that. Figure skating. For instance, jumps. You wouldn't want to get them when they're jumping because they have this awful face in the air when they're doing it and snots and everything as well. Just horrible. And no one uses them because it's just really unsightly thing. You don't want to see it. You would want to concentrate on the landing and maybe just before they take off and not anything in between. You would have shot everything when you started doing this whole sports photography thing 6 months ago, but now you've shot this for 6 months, you've been to a couple tournaments, you know exactly how things are going to happen, then just skip things in the middle and really concentrate on getting the moment right before the jump and right after the jump. Because that's when they want to look the best. Things will happen, like for instance, if they land awkwardly, they will fall. You can get that. So things between, they don't really count. Don't do it. Other thing, for instance, football, same thing. The guy's trying to shoot the ball into the goal. You wouldn't want to start blasting it early because your buffer is going to be full and you're just going to lose the moment. You're not going to be able to actually get the whole thing. Just wait until the moment comes. And then once you know it's just about to happen, start taking pictures and hopefully everything will work out for you. I think the most important thing is you need to really calm yourself down. If you know the sports that you're shooting, you will get the right moment, you'll get the right timing, and everything else, well, the camera should do the other work for you, you know? That's basically it. Do think about what you're shooting, know the timing of your sport, and you're going to be great.
I think that's enough.
And that is enough. So we are going to go and not brush our teeth next time because we're going to go and do something else. UWin is part of the show where you, the listeners, participate in a monthly themed competition. The top 3 photos will be presented on our site, one of which will be really big and the other 2 will be very small, like just words. So 3, 2, 1, third place is who, Matt Cohen?
I have Kenneth Armstrong for the dirty glass hockey picture. It's more of a like an artistic kind of photograph because he's used the smudges and the out of focus to get the lighting to be blobs instead of real definable. But you can tell that there's a goal and a goalie and he's watching the play. And it's something that, you know, you're going to a hockey game, you're going to shoot 100 pictures of the action or whatever, why not try something different? This would have been great if there was an actual play, but then he would have been giving up a chance to shoot the goal. So it ends up not being as good as it could be because it's just a goalie standing there. But I like the idea and I like that it's visually pleasing. You can look at it in a few different dimensions and it, you know, it's a pretty picture. I would like to see this with something going on, but then you're risking missing a big play. And that's a choice that every photographer has to make for themselves.
That's my number 2. But my number 3, I really wanted to go against it because it looks like an Instagram photo. But it's by Kayla Reen. And she doesn't really give her name, but I'm sure it's Kayla. Or Renee, or whatever. It's the good quarterback, I guess, hugging the homecoming queen. So, like, Friday Night Lights. There are problems with this photo, believe me, because I'm not crazy about people in the background. But I just found the moment quite special. I like the way she shot it. So, I think there are a lot of things that actually is wrong with this photo. But at the same time, I think she's got a great, 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 great moment. Hopefully, this girl goes in this ridiculous outfit and gets on the football field again in the future, you would would like to probably make sure that they're not crappy things in the background like other people in blue hugging each other and crap like that. And maybe you would be situated in a different position where you will have a cleaner background and I think it will be better. But I think it's a great moment. I have had other pictures that I was thinking about going for, but this one really stood out for me, and that is my number three.
It was a good idea, and it's a nice moment. It's just poorly executed. If you're going to have the people in the background, have them working for you instead of working against you. Listen, we talk about access all the time and like how close you can get to where you're shooting and the problems for not being able to get close. You're obviously on the field, so there's no restriction anymore other than somebody maybe bumping into you. And yeah, you don't want the guy wearing the 3/4-inch football spikes to step on your feet. I get that, but you need to get in there. The difference between a snapshot and a real picture a lot of times is how close you're getting. This is a snapshot. If you had stuck the camera in this girl's face, all you need is the guy's shoulder pads. You don't need his tailbone protector and what number he was. You need her face and her gloves, the back of his head and the top of his jersey showing the shoulder pads. Get closer, get in there. Everything happens when you're closer. The details start to fade as you step back. Imagine if you were closer and you could see her smudged makeup from laughing and crying and the individual stones in her tiara and the silkiness of her gloves. The further away you get from all of that, more impact you're robbing your picture of. And that's not even getting into the girl in the shorts on the side and the building with the writing on it. It's your job as a photographer to get in there and compose so that all of that stuff isn't killing what otherwise would be a pretty good picture.
There you have it. My number three sucks, according to Matt Cohen, but I still think it's great. Number two.
Number two, I have J Rash 168 with the coach grabbing the player's face mask. This, again, should have been closer. But if the player was just looking at the coach or whatever, that would be one thing. But you can tell that player is on the verge of tears. And if we're looking for non-action moments, getting somebody to almost cry is right up there with it. This isn't a perfect picture. It's suffering from along the same lines of the other one that just could have been composed differently. Get in there. Consider what's hurting the picture. The coach's shoulder is the first thing that you see. You're not automatically drawn to the guy's eyes. If you were closer in there and you had composed the coach's head versus the player's head or something like that, if you were shooting directly from the sides of them, it would have been a better picture. But you got the emotion. The coach is in there. You get in there. You got his hands. You got the guy getting ready to cry. It's a good start, but you need to get in there and make it a higher impact picture than it is.
I think I would have actually chosen this had it been, yeah, really better composed. Like maybe you would have it done like horizontal, like really, you know, so as you have one head on one side and one head on the other side. It's a bit half-assed. If you're going to go, you have to go really, really, really close. So you can only see maybe the hand and maybe the bit of the coach's face, but only really concentrating on his eyes because that's what you want to see. If that is as close as you can get, then compose it differently so it makes sense. Because I would like to have actually seen this, just kind of two-dimensional, player's head on the left and coach's on the right. Because then I think it would have been a lot more impactful than being half-assed that it actually was over here. So there it is, my thing. My number one is there's no way this could have lost this month. It's so head above the rest, right? This one.
Yeah, it's Bashar with the sun and the football players holding up their helmets.
Beautiful.
Listen, go through and look at all the pictures in here. There is no question. This is head and shoulders above all the other ones. This picture was composed. Bashar was not running around taking frames to take frames. He saw something. He anticipated it. I very much doubt these players were holding their helmets up for really all that long. So I'm sure that there was some anticipation in there. This was composed thoughtfully and carefully. And that's something that's lacking in a lot of these pictures. You're not going to get great pictures consistently by accident. You will get them. I get pictures that I don't mean to get once in a while. But pictures like this don't come regularly unless you're thinking about how can I make a pretty picture. Bashar thought about this and then made it happen. And that's why this is very, very, very far above everything else. It's not even close.
He always gives us quite funky pictures, which I really like. I kind of like the way he shoots things. And Matt doesn't like him because I don't think he likes his name that much. When I saw this, I think it was put up quite early, and I saw it's like there's no way we're gonna have anything nowhere near as good. A beautiful photo, and he goes for home runs, which I like about Bashar. Is that he doesn't really care about, you know, singles and doubles and whatever. He doesn't give a crap about them. You know, he risks a lot. And sometimes the risk is not really worth the effort that he actually puts in, and he, you know, ends up with a really crappy photo.
But I can tell you that he's learning from those ones where he's going for a home run and striking out. And there's a theme. Bashar likes putting things top, bottom, or right or left. We've seen a lot of pictures where he was hugging the edge of the frame. And I can tell you that he's missed a lot. We've seen some pictures where we admired the chance that he was taking, and we encouraged him to do the same, but look for a better moment. And this is one of the rewards for doing that. He could have gone for a full body shot. Like, he could have pulled out really wide or stepped back or whatever and gotten the players from the turf all the way up to the tops of their helmets and then the sun in the top. And that picture would have sucked. But he boiled it down to the essentials. What's the essential? Blue sky, a starburst from the sun, and heads, hands holding the helmets. He's boiled it down to the only parts of the picture that are adding to the picture, and he subtracted everything else, whether it was the top of the gym building or a goalpost or the turf or the referees milling around waiting for the game to start or end or whatever it was. This is why this is a good picture. It's carefully composed, and the things that are in it help, and nothing that takes away from the picture is included. Not an accident.
Good job. The photo of the year as well. Yeah. I mean, that's up there as well now. I mean, it's a fantastic. I'm really jealous he actually got this shot.
This is very good. Yeah.
It's fantastic. So that ends, you win. Bashar, you win again. And you get a t-shirt. And I guess you got black last time, so you can get a white one next time. That is it. And we will be back with your favorite section of our wonderful podcast.
Training ground. You asked for it, you get it. Ryu and I will rip your photos into smithereens. Hold on to your headphones. Here comes the pain.
And there we go. And we have a lot to do, so we are going to start with lovely P-Mom. Matt Cohen.
This is better than the ones we saw from her the last couple of months. The timing is a little bit better, but still not quite there. And it's way too loose. Like, don't want those big poles in the background. Turf in the foreground isn't doing you any favors. So if you can't get any closer than that, then crop. But I would suggest waiting until the action comes closer.
Matchpoint.com. It's a good photo. I don't know why it's here. We got podium for this. If there's anything you could have actually done to make it better for what you were trying to do, you've composed it beautifully. The racket is on the head and everything. It's good. Maybe not the most exciting photo, but it's clever. I like it. But put it into podium. You don't have to actually be here. Elroy.
You need to get closer. You need to be where those guys are who are sitting there. Because we're seeing way too many of these pictures where those guys are in between you and what's ever going on. It's happening in both of these. And I can't figure out why. If you can't get closer, then you shouldn't be shooting this, because these pictures are ruined by those people sitting there in front of you, and it's ruined by the perspective that you should be seeing what they're seeing. I don't know if it's a matter of you need to just man up and walk somewhere and make somebody kick you out. I don't know if there's a rope in between you. I don't care. But if you're going to keep trying these pictures, I want to see some growth in them, and that growth, from what either of us can see right here, is that you're letting other people sit where you should be shooting from.
You need to have more balls like Matt does. Because Matt's very small balls, but he's still got them. So, you know, use them, Elroy, and get closer. J Rash, the first volleyball photo, kind of like the tennis photo we just saw, where we just didn't even see it. We were just discussing. I was discussing. It's fine, but like, for instance, like, I'm seeing that she's got a very, very long ponytail or braided hair. Maybe there are moments that, like, that's wrapped around her head or doing something interesting. If you can get that close, me a bit lower, then maybe get a different angle for this serving thing, because as with all these sports that's got serves, you're gonna have a lot of chances to shoot her in this moment. I'm sure the better moments you can pick. You're concerned about this whole serving thing, then I would get down lower, get closer, and make it so that I could feel that this is a very important serve or whatnot. Really think about the hair thing. But she's got interesting hair. Make good use out of it. The second photo, honestly, it's too much happening. Nothing
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. It's nice that you got the ball coming out or whatever, but it's not enough to make it. Like, it's just like a mass of bodies. They're not falling in a way that would help the picture, so it just becomes like visual debris, kind of. And so the only thing is the ball coming out, and that's not enough to make the picture.
Tom.
This is good as far as this kind of picture. He's got an interesting face. There's good light. You're low enough But what is it? It's something that you see a million times during a game. So build on this. Wait for a better moment. Wait for this guy to go vertical. Wait for somebody to come crashing into him. Because this is just a frozen action like we talk about all the time. There's nothing that's drawing anybody to this picture. You've done everything right, but you just need to get a better moment.
Bob, it looks like two pictures shot by two different people. I'm assuming you thought it was interesting, the girl's hair doing the whole big thing. It's not interesting at all because it doesn't do anything.
First one, there's no context. Like, nothing. I don't know if she's playing softball or field hockey or soccer. It's just a portrait, what it comes down to. There's no context in it.
Or she's just like walking in class. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
The other one has got more story going on. I'm sure he's very, very sad. The foreground really doesn't work for me. I like a lot of space in photos, but this doesn't do anything for me. It detracts from the entire photo. I'm sure you could have actually shot this differently, maybe wider, use the goalpost to kind of frame the whole thing, something. It's a shame because you could have done a lot more with this. And next time you ask you something like this, think about what's in the foreground. These things actually don't have to be there. Think about the entire field, maybe even go wide. And Tom, again, the second one.
The third one is not a fast enough shutter speed, and you missed the moment. This is too late. You missed by a little bit, but you still missed it. The one above that is just boring. You really need to wait for the exact moment. This goes back to timing when we're talking about a masterclass. It's just, this is a lull between the action, and you're presenting it as if it was action, and it's not.
Roberto with his I am gay Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, it's all right. It's kind of those photos. Like, I'm glad you got the whole panning thing done, but that's about it.
Yeah.
With these type of shots on the racing stuff, it's just all right. I mean, we've seen it thousands of times. Show us a bit more, such as TBTSTT.
I don't know. There are times when this picture can be good, when there's more rocks flying and you can barely see the car or something like that, but there's just kind of like a rumor of rocks, and that's not enough. The second one, really, this car looks like is standing still and there might be some leaves falling in the background. Like, rally cars, it's really dynamic, and I know that there's restrictions because you don't want to get hit by the car or whatever, but you need to pick moments where maybe you're panning through a corner, or maybe a car is coming over the crest of a hill and gets airborne, and then you have the rocks, power slide, or a place where they're kicking up more than they were. But these two pictures don't tell the story of how dynamic rally cars are, and because of that, they're just not that good.
I think you need to pick a better spot, probably a corner, and not really a straightaway. It doesn't really do it. And the whole twisting frame thing, really, honestly, after a while, it just gets really, really annoying. I've tried in the past. It works for maybe 0.0002% of the time. I don't like this whole twisting thing. Don't do it. To silent mode, I don't like this effect. Why do you have to put these effects? Like, people with effects, like, would you have to shoot everything in Instagram? Like, does it make it any better?
It's just straight up annoying because there's no reason. There's, you know, it's not a landscape. It's not a soft focus portrait or whatever. There's just no reason for it other than, you know, it's like a Christmas tree ornament. Like, how many ornaments can I put on this? And this is one too many. There's no reason to vignette a sports picture like these at all.
And the second one, I mean, the first one's okay. Like, it's really, really barely passable.
Yeah.
Because I think it's shot poorly. It's one of those things that Matt just said about the whole axis. If you got this much axis and get closer, get lower, get something out of it, you're too far into the whole thing. And it's not really a good moment either. The whole timing thing is like, what? It's got his hand down. Like, he's not really doing anything, really, you know?
But he's got a good expression on his face, and he's got the tattoos. You know, we were talking about with the football picture, you are too far away for those things to matter. Whereas if you were up close, all of that stuff becomes way more interesting. So get closer. I don't know. The second one is...
Yeah, whatever. It's just, away.
Yeah.
In the bin, straight up.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
When we're talking about hockey pictures, we've seen a lot of very bad hockey pictures. I like that he's very low. I'm trying to figure out how he got lower than the boards.
He might actually be in the rink.
Yeah, I really don't know. It's very low, and that's good. A lot of times you can't get that low. I like the exposure. I like the white balance, which are things that people mess up in hockey. And I like the eye contact. All of this is working together. It's not a great picture. It's a well-executed hockey picture that's better than most of the ones that we see here.
And cinema photography, constructive and destructive. I will give you constructive. Throw this picture away. Unless we kind of go through the whole, like, oh, it's for the school paper and we're going to do this special on this number 20 guy. Not even, maybe. it's poorly composed. You got so much stuff going on in the background. Maybe it's okay. We've seen worse in terms of background stuff.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything interesting. He's just running. And if you want to compose it, you want to actually have him all the way on the right, then do it wider so we can actually see it on the right. And maybe there's stuff happening on the left. Just really poorly balanced, poorly composed. Really, honestly, this should be in the bin.
There's no tension in this. There's a guy running. The defender's way too far away. It just looks like he's going to skate to a touchdown, and that doesn't make for a very good picture. You need to, you know, find one where there's five guys that are trying to bring him down, and you can see the exertion on his face or whatever. This one is just robbed of, you know, anything exciting. It's just a guy turning a corner with the ball. That's it.
Garage works.
Yeah, this is just a bad angle. You don't really see this very often. I don't think I've ever seen this, but shooting from that three-quarter angle is no good. This should be from very low where you can see the whole barrel, and it should be, we see these pictures where people manage to get a DSLR into a pro football game or whatever, and they're shooting from 40 feet overhead or something like that, and it's not straight up overhead, but it's not low enough, so you get caught in that three-quarter zone. That's just not interesting. So it's a nice moment, it's something you don't see very often, but the angle of this picture is just destroying it, because it makes you think, oh, this guy was just up in the stands or whatever, and I don't think that's what the case was or needed to be. The second one is not a good barrel racing picture, because you have the cars in the background, that guy sitting on a chair and the other guy sitting on the bench. Find a better angle and use a better background than this. Barrel racing can be very dramatic. The horse can be kicking up a lot of dirt that you can see. In the picture like this, you want to see the horse's muscles. The horse is working very hard to make tight turns like that. Show off what's special about this. This horse is working very hard, and it doesn't look like this horse is working very hard. So lower and pick a time when the horse is at maximum strain.
Tunis, I've shot golf. This is really, really boring. Is there a point that the caddy has to be there? Or, I mean, it's the same thing. If you can actually get this close and think about angles and composition and everything else. If you want to get a shot like this, maybe get it from behind, isolate him. You don't need the caddy. There's no point of having a caddy, like, unless you want to have the golfer in the middle, which in this case makes absolutely no sense, because this caddy, having a caddy there is just distracting, unless the caddy is doing something interesting. But as for a golfing moment, it's a very, 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 very boring moment. Think about it. If you're going to get really, really close or go wide, it's just very, very in between. It's like using a 24-7 lens. Instead of going very, very wide to maybe 15 millimeter or going very, very close to 200 or 300 millimeters, one thing we are going to tell you is this, you need to risk it a bit more. And this is just a picture. Chris Gouge.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about as far as the panning last month. I do like the how these cars are both in the clear created by the tree being there. But it opens up other problems, like having that path in the grass. Like, that's robbing the picture of what should be open pasture of green that would help the picture, but now we're looking at another visual element that's breaking it up and distracting. You already have the wall, you already have the tree. Adding that path to it just unnecessarily complicates things, which to me would mean compose differently, either have that be the bottom of the frame or get closer to it so that it's not in the frame at all.
But Sharad, you know I'm a sucker for these composition, but there's nothing happening in these two photos. But I've looked at it for a bit. There's nothing happening. There has to be something happening. I don't like the background either. I think it's really distracting, especially the first one.
Yeah.
And she needs to be doing something a bit more for it to be want to have a something photo like this. Second one, yeah. He's crossing his legs, that, and maybe there's something a bit more happening in the background that might make him a bit better. But these two, I think, are throwaways. But, hey, you know, you take risks. You might get rewarded sometimes. And this one are both no-nos. Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, this is okay.
Yeah.
He got low. He got the kid looking right at the camera, carrying the ball, running. The background's not awful. Then again, that's all it is, a frozen moment. And that's fine. But it's not anything special. It's just, if that's your kid, that's great. This is definitely one that you put up on the wall. But as far as like becoming a great sports photographer, shooting singles like this isn't really going to get it done. You want some kind of tension in it. You want to show that there are people that are literally trying to take his head off. None of that's in here. Like, this kid could just be warming up or something like that. There's just no tension in it.
And the second one as well. I like the second one.
I like the second one a lot. He got very low. He could be laying on the ground for all I know on this picture, which would be.
He is, because they're small, aren't these kids?
Yeah, I do that at football games, and I don't see very many other people doing it. So if that's the case, then good job. You know, I like it. This is an example of timing that if he was already on the ground or if he hadn't begun to dive yet or whatever, then it would be a much less interesting picture. But you got him at full extension being brought down. He's stretching for the extra couple yards. So this is an example of good timing. I like that you got low. So keep doing this and better things will happen.
CCPFO. I'm glad you took our suggestion. It's still not good. And the reason why is that it's way too far. It's so far. Yeah. And you need to kind of like look at your f-stop as well. But I think the most important thing is that, okay, you got low. That's fine. I'll give you candy for that. But the rest is just like, it's not a really good moment. Though. Maybe the second one, maybe. But you have to wait for the action to come a lot closer to you. I'm going to keep repeating the whole timing thing. You have to wait. Just be patient. It will come to you. But when it comes to your area, then don't miss it. Don't waste your time shooting these crappy pictures that means nothing. Wait, and then go. And don't have to just bother with these stupid moments that means basically nothing. It's not your photographing very, very interesting either. So do it again next month. I want to see a better one. Okay? Memories by Mike.
This is tough. I mean, look at the rafters and look at the people sitting in the background. I'm pretty sure that stuff is more in focus than the guy dunking the ball or trying to dunk the ball and the guy trying to defend at him. And that's a bad sign. If you're shooting this wide, you need to be closer. But if this is as close as you can get, if you're shooting wide, you have to compose a lot more carefully. Like this is, look how the bleachers are running downhill and the whole thing looks skewed because of it, but there's no good reason for it. Beyond that, the action is going away from you. And if you were shooting the guy in the white shirt who's trying to block it and you were tight on him, this might actually be a picture, but he's way too small for him, his face and his effort and whatever to have any impact. The guy that's dunking the ball is going away from you and you're losing the angle that his body is at because the background is too busy. So you have a lot of things working against you and it's all coming from the fact that you were using the wrong lens for what you were trying to do. If you're shooting action like this, then you need to be much tighter on this. And if you're trying to shoot what amounts to a sports landscape, then you need to be a lot more careful about everything that's going on. All of the lines need to point to something and they need to be flush with the edges. So you're caught in between. It's not careful enough to be a landscape and it's not tight enough to be a sports action picture. So I'm not really sure what the point of all this is.
I actually going to go the other way around. I think it's actually quite a cool picture. It's just one thing that really bothers me is that the black dude who's going for the dunk blends a bit too much with the white guy. For some reason, there's no separation to the thing. The other thing also is that Matt pointed out, the background really disturbs me. It's a bit too much in focus. I don't mind the angle. I don't mind how it's composed, but I think there's a lot of things you can probably do to execute this better. If you want to kind of get this kind of an angle, maybe closer might be a better thing. Yeah, closer might be a better thing. But you need to kind of do something with the background. It's a bit too much going on, and it distracts from a really good moment. So if you're going to get something like this, then stick with the players and try to actually get the background out of focus. And I'm going to go to K Wong Photography. Same thing. That it's not an interesting moment to start with this one. There's nothing interesting going on. I think you can do much better. He's much more capable than doing this. And I'd like to see a bit more. This just is not an interesting moment at all. And White Guardian Angel, there's nothing there. Alex Luiz?
The timing. He went to all the trouble of setting all this up and being there. And the guy is passed, but he's not squared up. So it's kind of, again, in the middle. Like, why not get him when he's just off the edge or get him when he's completely perpendicular to the edge going around the bend? All the makings of a nice shot are there. Landscape, the sky in the background, the exposure, all of it's set up there, but I just don't understand. So we're seeing like a three-quarter view of the rider before he lands when the subject of the picture is the least interesting part of it. So I don't know, get closer to the thing and get him just coming off the edge, or wait till he's completely turned around or move so that he is completely turned around and he completely has his back to you. But having that in-between kind of composition is not helping this picture at all.
WPO photo. I think the first one could have worked had you kind of made it more kind of like maybe to the left so that you can kind of make good use out of the two umbrellas in the background. It's a good moment. It's just executed very, very poorly. Background is in shambles. If you can get closer so you can kind of not have to see what's going on in the background, it might, you know, be even better. If you can get even closer, so maybe you can actually get from underneath the coach's feet, whatever. But the whole game here is to get closer. Second one, I think it's a great, you know, football photo. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a great moment. You got it right at the same time. So you've got it. Just, you know, work on it and just think about the background. It's much more important than you think it is.
You know, you catch something out of the corner of your eye and you're like, I need to make a picture of that. What happens is you take all of the composition out of it when you're rushing because you see something like this. You need to get to a point where you're considering the edges of the picture and what's in the background and whether it's helping or not, and then move around based on that. You can't just think, I see something, I'm going to shoot it at this level. Like, if you've been doing this for 15 years or something like that, you might get to a point where it's all just second nature and you can just swing your camera around and shoot. But I'm not at that level. I guarantee you the WPL photo isn't at that level. So you need to take a lot more care in what's going on in the background and composing when you see something like this, rather than just, oh, I saw that there's this huddle and I'm just going to blast away. Like, it's not enough. When you're making these pictures like this, the composition needs to be a lot more thoughtful.
Kenneth Armstrong.
Yeah, I will destroy the first one. It's a mess. I mean, it's just, I don't know if these guys were airborne half a second before and that's where the picture was, but everything is kind of bleeding together and it's because of depth of field. So it's very difficult and you have to really focus on what's going in the foreground to even see what's happening. And it's not enough. Like, one guy laying on top of the other guy isn't enough. If these guys had been in the air and the puck had been bouncing around, they were fighting for it, that's one thing, but this is just blown timing. That's all there is to it. The second one, I mean, it's there and you did control the background and the foreground, but there's not enough context to really tell what's going on. I can't tell if he's celebrating or if he's arguing with the ref or whatever. So it's not enough.
Yeah, they're both garbage. You throw them away. Cinephotography, also another garbage. I'm assuming that you thought this was interesting because the hair is on the girl's face and the girl kind of have to also start thinking about what is interesting, what is not interesting. We are trying to get you to another level, not get you to a high school newspaper level. This is really just, there's nothing going on, I think, in my mind. Also, timing is everything, and there's nothing, maybe there was something going on after this that maybe the girl landed completely and something happened, I don't know. But just looking at it, it doesn't really do anything for me. It's quite dark as well. That can't really do anything, but I'm not going to actually force it on you. But there has to be a better moment for this, and get something else and show it to us again. Brendan Mank.
First one is the kind of thing where overhead lighting isn't helping. Like, this could be something, you know, kind of like a landscape surfing picture or something like that if the light was better, but it's way too harsh. And then the white of the foam kind of gets blown out. I'm not crazy about the surfer being in the middle because, again, if you're making these landscape style shots, everything needs to be considered because it's not a great moment. You need to make it a pretty picture to make it a good picture. And this just isn't because of the light and because the composition isn't there. The second one, the maneuver is a lot better, and I like the fact that you're showing the surfer doing something really cool, but again, the lighting is killing you because you can't expose for his face without blowing everything else out, so then he just becomes almost silhouetted, which isn't good, and you're just too far away. I just don't know what it is about surfing pictures that people think that they can shoot it from this far away and it's still going to be an interesting picture, because it's probably not. Is the answer getting into the water? Yeah, it probably is. And does it mean risking getting water splashed on your gear? Yeah, it probably does. But if you're just going to stand on the beach and shoot from this far away without an 800 or something like that, then you're going to be doomed to making pictures that are less interesting than they could be. And then what's the point?
Sport pick. The guy in the back is sad because they did something bad. And the guy in the front doesn't look that sad. And, you know, nothing really interesting going on. If you ask me, if they had lost, then I would have really concentrated on the guy in the back, because that tells more of a story, because the guy in the front just looks like he just had something bad for lunch. This is photography. This is not, we're not supposed to like read a caption that says the guy's just lost, blah, 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 blah. The more important on this setting is the guy in the back, because he's doing a more obvious thing of, oh, I f***ed it up, or I we lost. So concentrate on that guy, and this doesn't really work for me. I understand there's just the kind of separation between the two with the whole pole in the middle and everything as well, but it still doesn't really do it. Also, background is a bit too noisy as well. So
yeah.
Work on it. You can do a better job, I think. Novante.
Novante. I mean, these are both interesting because these guys are definitely getting their asses kicked and don't ordinarily get to see that. But these pictures only work in the context of telling the story of everything that went on from this day, from these guys getting there and warming up to doctor putting the bandages on after the fight. As standalone pictures, they're a little bit too obvious, and I think that at his level he should be making them a little bit less obvious than this. The first one is better. I think the black and white definitely helps, but neither of them are standout pictures. They're pictures that need to go in a photo story or something like that, because they just don't have the kind of impact that they would if they were part of something else.
They don't. And they need to be re-editioned. I think the background doesn't really help either, you know? And get closer. If you're going to get that close, and get even closer and get just a face or something like that. Yeah, it doesn't really tell that much of a story. David Musanti, I like the fact you did the whole pan thing. If I was doing this shot, I would have even made it, given even more space to the right. So you can only see maybe the first two lines of the guys. I think it's a punt return or whatever. I don't know what it is. But it's all from the same team. And you have this massive space in front of them. I love to have actually seen that. But you did the pan well. I'll give you that much. And the second picture, I like the way you were thinking that you're going to get some dirt and everything. But it just looked like a dirty bike. That's about it. It's no action. He's trying doing something interesting. It literally looks like a bike that just went through mud. And it's just kind of standing there, and he's trying to pedal out of it. That's it. Carlina.
Yeah, no.
Mm.
It's just too tight for what it is. Have him in like kind of like the Heisman pose, which it's nice to have one of those, but it's too tight, and the awkward cutting off the feet is not good, and no better than that. I don't know. Could you have cropped this to his thigh or something like that and made it serviceable? Yes, but it was never going to be a great picture.
The second one,
I always try to get pictures like this with the team and the coach celebrating in the background, but there's not enough separation. The guy's black jersey blends in with black jerseys, and there's nothing you can do about that, but it doesn't mean that we're going to grade it on a curve and say, oh, okay, well, it's still good. He's not separated enough from them, and he's not doing something enough. If he was laying out for a pass or something like that, and they were celebrating because he made the catch, or you know, just before he made the catch, that would be one thing. But really, all he's doing is running. The guy behind him isn't enough of a threat to make it, to have there be any tension in it. It falls into the category of it was a good idea, but it didn't succeed because of three or four different factors.
Isaac Ferreira, it is a demonstration of some martial arts thing at a mall. It's barely a sports photograph. I'm really sorry. It's because it's a demonstration, you know? And what you're doing is not very interesting either. So you have to compose it in a different way so that you can showcase what exactly he's doing. And also maybe if he's actually taking this guy down, I'm sure he was actually in the air at the frame before. So get that instead of a guy he just landed on his ass on the floor and that's it. Second picture, a lot better than the first one because I am really a sucker for these massive spaces. But at the same time, this moment itself, I don't really quite understand what the hell is going on. And I don't think it's really interesting enough. If you want to make it like this, they need to pick a better moment that all these guys are from Valencia are celebrating. I'm sure it's a goal. But I'm sure there was a better moment that you could have actually chosen. And if you're going to do this, then really go for it and don't do a 50-50 split. Maybe 30-70 split.
Yeah.
So you have a massive space on the bottom and there's players on the top. Go all out. I don't want this whole half-ass thing. And that is the end of a very, very, very long training round. Since we're recording this November 30th and then we'll be out in December, so you must be thinking about what to get for your lovely sports photographer next door. You might think he's cute. You might think she could be your wife. I don't know. But please don't stalk because we don't really condone that kind of crap on BLFS. But we're going to this Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever you want to call it, section of gift-giving materialistic things you can actually do for a sports photographer. And one thing I really want to talk about is the monopod head, because I saw one in action in a figure skating. I was talking about that on the news, and it works very, 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 very well. If you have to shoot down, or if you have to shoot up, and there's not that much space for your monopod to move, a monopod head is a lifesaver. And I've just bought one from a really quite expensive one because I thought I'm going to go all the way because I don't want to actually have to go and get a better one later on. I got one from the Really Right Stuff. And I'm sure I'll do a review of that particular gear very, very soon. I got an attachment for the 400 2.8. So that should be quite an interesting thing to get. Not that expensive because they have a lot of cheaper version of a monopod head from different makers. But we'll do some research on it. We'll put that up on the website as well. Matt Cohen, anything else?
Yeah, I have two. One that I have and one that I don't have yet that I think would make pretty good gifts. One is the Shapeshifter backpack from Think Tank.
Oh, I want that.
They sent me one of these and I really like it. The problem is that I use my airport security roller all the time because it fits my 400 and I'm taking that most of the time. But when I shoot basketball, sometimes I don't take it. And when I shoot things that I, you know, can get really close to, I don't take it. And this bag is great for that because it has, in the main compartment, it has pouches, like neoprene pouches, where you can put all your stuff. And it holds two D-style bodies. And there's room for three lenses. So basically, you can fit the 70 to 200 and then 14 to 24 and the 24 to 70 or primes that are generally the same size. And then it has a room in the back for your laptop. And the idea is that when you take all of the gear out of your bag, you can still have your bag. So if I'm shooting something that's like a road race or cycling or something like that, you can take all the gear out and be shooting with it, zip it down. It flattens very thin so that it's not much bigger than a laptop bag and it's still on your shoulders. So you only have to have one bag with you. You don't have to worry about having a separate laptop bag. And it's really well made, like all the Think Tank stuff is. And it has pockets for cables and memory cards and things like that. But it's just a really well-made backpack. And the Shapeshifter part is that it zips down after you take your photo gear out of it to be a real low-profile backpack that just has your laptop in it. So I've been using that recently, and I really, really enjoy it. And then the other one that I don't have yet, it's called the Nifty Mini Drive.
I ordered one.
I pre-ordered one also. I don't have it yet, but the idea behind this is that if you have a Mac laptop, all of the newer ones have SD card slots in them. And I don't have any cameras that take SD cards. And the idea of this is that it's kind of like it uses a micro SD. So these cards are very small. They don't ordinarily fit into that SD card slot, but it's an adapter that lets you plug the micro SD card into the adapter. And then you plug the whole thing into your laptop and it sits flush with the edge so that no dirt or anything like that gets in there and nothing sticks out so that you can put your bag or you can put your laptop into your camera bag. The biggest size that they make right now is 64 gigs, which is really, really handy. Like I have a MacBook Pro. I think my hard drive is 120 gigs or something. It's an SSD, so it can't be that big. Otherwise, it just gets really expensive. So basically for the cost of this Nifty Mini Drive, which is $30 or $35 or something, and then an SD card, which you can get for $30, you can have 64 gigs of pretty fast semi-permanent storage with you all the time. And it just expands your computer without having to like take out the CD drive or the DVD drive or whatever and put in a new hard drive. It's not out yet. It's shipping. It says shipping in December. I would imagine late December. But as long as I get it reasonably soon, I'll be pretty happy. It seems like it would be pretty handy to have on the road when I don't have, you know, the ability to offload all my stuff onto my other computer.
It's a bit weird that we actually were thinking different. Wavelength. It's a bit weird. Oh, it's weird. Anyway, we're going to go for like a bit cheaper things. For instance, if you don't have a stool, not the one you comes out of your ass, but the one you sit on, it's very, very useful. If you don't have one, you can get one very, very cheap. Same goes for monopods. You don't have to get the carbon one. There are others that made of steel. That's totally good enough. And winter season comes, so if usually you have to work outside if you're a sports photographer. I mean, there's indoor ones, but there's a lot of outdoor sports during this time. So maybe a very good pair of gloves that might go well with the things. And anything else you can add? Other small things that you think people can get for their lovely sports photography?
I haven't really bought anything recently.
Matt doesn't like to buy stuff, so I'm sorry. He's just not a very, very big consumer. But in any case, we'll list some of these things on our website, and you can have a look, and you can have a nice holiday season with your with your stalker sports photographer. And with that, we end the 22nd episode of Big Lens Fast Shutter. Special thanks to Boutsman, aka Arvin Batista, for the icons, and myself for doing the editing. Can't do this without them. To check out their info as well as ours, please go to biglensfastshutter.com. See you next month, and if you are interested in editing our podcast, please, please, please let us know. Help.
Take England all the way to the World Cup finals.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him out.